This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency. Your Israeli property is in good hands.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony. Did you feel the tremors this morning?
Boker tov, shavuot tov. No, actually, I did not. I did not feel the tremors, but apparently the earthquake, which has been really felt in Syria and Turkey and killed a number of people there already, was felt in Israel. I was not one of them. I think I was in dreamland somewhere. But already apparently 100 people have been killed, and I guess there will still be more to hear about that yet. And of course, we are feeling the effects of winter storm Barbara, which is approaching Israel. And the winds are already up. The storm is due to approach from the north. It will leave snow in the Hermon, quite heavy snow in the Hermon, and much colder weather, wintry rain. Apparently, Jerusalem is not expected to get any snow, much to the disappointment of many people. But certainly in the north, the ski field in the Hermon is due to be open as soon as the storm has passed. And of course, we are now in the era where winter storms have to have a name. And this all comes from the European Meteorological Society, which has divided Europe up into certain groups. And Israel falls into the group with Cyprus and Greece. They're in a group together, and therefore they have the same winter storm. So winter storm Barbara apparently has left Greece with some snow, is coming across Israel as well. But there are common naming conventions which are cooperated between Israel, Greece, and Cyprus. And I was looking at the list of names that has been chosen for the 2022-2023 season in Israel, Greece, and Cyprus. And much to, even though we were not aware of it, the first storm which was already passed was Ariel. This one is Barbara. Of course, they always have to be in alphabetical order, Barbara. And then the rest of the list is quite something to behold, because it's obviously a cooperation between Greece, Israel, and Cyprus. So Cleon, Daniel, Ilias, Phaedra, Guy, Helena, Ionis, Jasmine, Kiros, Lachesis, Moses, Naias, Orpheus, Pnina in the middle, Regina, Shmuel is there, Talia, Ukrainos, Vered, Xanthia, and Zoe. Those are the storm names that have been chosen for this season, most of which, of course, will not be used. And, of course, there's no attempt to make them male or female like they like to do with the Atlantic storming conventions. One season male names, one season female names. Because, of course, in Israel, names are unisex mostly anyway. So you're not really quite sure. When you say Ariel, it could be a girl, it could be a boy, it could be any person. So, Winter Storm Barbara very much on its way. And one more little snippet before we get into the big news. A video has been released of an interview with video and a sound clip, an interview with former Prime Minister Naftali Bennett about some of the work that he did while he was Prime Minister, and in particular about the trip that he made to Moscow to try and bring an end to the Ukraine war, that famous trip that he made on Shabbat in order to try to rescue lives. He was unsuccessful in stopping the war, which was only a week or two into the war. He was unsuccessful in stopping the war. But he claims in his interview that he did get Russian President Putin to agree not to kill Ukrainian President Zelensky. And he claims that as he left the Kremlin on the way to the airport, having met Russian President Putin, he called Zelensky to tell Zelensky, and he claims he called him, he wasn't quite sure if he called him by WhatsApp or by telegram, but apparently it was one of those two. And he called Zelensky to tell Zelensky that Putin was not going to kill him. And he claims that as a result of that, later that same day, Zelensky came out of his bunker and made a video to say he's not afraid and that he's out in the open and stuff like that, which he claims was all as a result of the information that he'd received, the undertaking that he'd received from Russian President Putin that he was not going to kill Zelensky. Lots and lots of denials from the Ukrainian side that that is true.
What's so interesting is that he's willing to take Vladimir Putin's word. I mean, war is war,
Anthony.
Well, that
did cross my mind, to be honest. That did cross my mind, to be honest. But there you go. That's the way it was presented.
Crazy. Let's talk about Bibi Netanyahu. He's been on an official visit to France over the weekend. So why did he go? What's the nature of his trip?
Well, interestingly, the first trip that he's made outside of the region after his re-election as prime minister, the first trip that he made, we already know, was to see Jordanian King Abdullah. But he hasn't left the region since he became prime minister. This was the first time. On Thursday night, he flew to Paris for a two-day official visit. He was welcomed at the Élysée Palace by French President Emmanuel Macron, as he has already done for Israel's previous prime ministers. Recall all the backslapping that took place when Yair Lapid was in France, and we've seen a lot of this before. It seems as if the relationship with Netanyahu is good. We understand that the discussions really centered around Iran in the most part, but also there were other issues to discuss, including the Palestinian situation, and of course, including the Ukrainian war. It's not exactly clear why the prime minister chose this to be his first visit and why this is so important for him to go to see Emmanuel Macron at this stage. But of course, Macron expressed France's solidarity with Israel after the terror attack that took place on Friday in Jerusalem, the previous Friday. And he also reaffirmed his concern at the huge violence, the renewed violence in the West Bank, and of course the growing tension between Israel and the Palestinians. So that was really apparently, at least for public consumption, the result of the meeting that took place between the two leaders in Paris. I'm guessing that there were things that were spoken about under four eyes or perhaps in a closed room, which the public will not be exposed to, and certainly not at this stage at any way.
Yeah. The IDF, they've been involved in clashes with militants in the area of Jericho overnight. We haven't heard a lot about Jericho and, you know, any activity happening there. So what were the causes of the clashes, Anthony?
So the IDF is still trying to track down the individuals who were involved, or the individual who was involved in the attack that took place at a restaurant near the Al Mog Junction about a week ago. And the IDF were really trying to track down Hamas operatives in the area of Jericho, which is somewhat ironic because Jericho is really a Fatah Palestinian Authority stronghold. It's not where you would expect to find Hamas operatives hanging out. In fact, on the contrary, they would probably be quite unwelcome in the area of Jericho. And yet, this is where the IDF were operating in order to track down Hamas operatives. Let's not forget that the Palestinian Authority has their military training school near to Jericho. So that area is really considered to be a stronghold of support for the Palestinian Authority, for the Fatah party in particular, and of course for current President Mahmoud Abbas on the Palestinian Authority. And yet the IDF were busy last night trying to track down Hamas operatives in the area of Jericho. We understand that there were people who were killed, some armed terrorists who were killed after opening fire towards IDF overnight. And let's just try to put things into context, because the IDF have been very, very busy in trying to track down operatives across the West Bank over the past month or so. And in fact, in January, it was reported that 36 Palestinians were killed during IDF operations across the West Bank. which is a very significant number and something that we shouldn't ignore. And in fact, the Palestinians put this poster together which showed the martyrs who had been killed in operations by the IDF. But when you have a look at each of those 36 names, because of course the photographs that are posted of those 36 people all show civilians, people who are regular people like you and me, go around their daily business in civilian clothing. And yet when you start examining it in more detail, and I saw an article which really took each of those 36 people and examined who they were, 31 out of the 36 were formally identified as members of some operational group or another, be it Fatah, be it Palestinian Islamic Jihad, be it Hamas, whichever operation they were formally identified, formally associated with those operative groups. Only 5 out of the 36 were genuinely not found to have any affiliations at all with any terror organization. So it also puts into some sort of perspective what the IDF is coming up against. And every time they go in to try to find the people who have perpetrated attacks, whether it be the Al-Morg attack or whether it be that attack that took place in Neve Yaakov, against the people who are coming out of that shul, the IDF have no choice but to follow up these particular attacks in order to, first of all, to hold to account those people who carry them out, and also to try to prevent future attacks from happening, because many times when the IDF are going in to look for people, they're trying to prevent attacks that are in the making, people planning and preparing attacks. And so inevitably people are killed. And I think that we need to see this for what it is, because this is a significant escalation in the situation, the security situation. Interestingly, the head of the Gaza Strip, the Hamas administration, the Gaza Strip, Ismail Haniyeh, is going to Egypt later this week for meetings with the Egyptian authorities. They are not considered to be the best of friends. There is a delegation from Palestinian Islamic Jihad also in Egypt right now talking to the Egyptians. So there is talk, there is discussion, there are activities going on. But in the meantime, unfortunately, the situation is extremely volatile.
Yeah, and it's definitely something to keep an eye on. So many lots of little stories. Anthony, if possible, I mean, we've got to get to news, but if possible, tomorrow, could we try and take you a little bit earlier? Would that be okay?
I am ready.
Okay.
I would be
amazing.
Ready to be a little bit earlier tomorrow. No issues.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Anthony Wright, thank you very, very much. That was the Israel Report. And up next, we've got news.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property, is in good hands.